How many times have you had people come up and say, I think this way and I think you should think this way? And they just keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. It's really irritating. What I find out is you take one person in the crowd and they think that they should pressure you to believe like they do and do exactly like they do. You know, make the minority run the majority. And we see that all the time. I'm going to tell you a story here. It's a true story. Eventually. But we are now living in a world that is more and more being persecuted for recognizing our Creator. You see that? People don't like to hear about God. A world where the minority are trying to dictate what the majority can do or think. Where if one person claims that they're offended, the whole must change their way of thinking or acting to match the person claiming to be offended. Whereas good becomes evil, and evil becomes good. Not really so. But you be the judge. Let's turn to Isaiah 5, verse 20. Says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Let's just keep trying to change things. Do we glorify God or do we deny Him because of peer pressure, because of political correctness? I would say the former, as peer pressure or political correctness, are for the most part of the world and the ways of man, which are the ways that lead to death, is Proverbs 14:12. I won't turn there, but I will turn there. There is a way that seems right to man, but its ways are the way of death. Look at the choices people are making today. There are choices that are going to eventually lead to death if we keep doing it. We don't want that. I'll tell you a story here about a young man. As Jack Webb used to say on Dragnet, that names have been changed to protect the innocent. We'll call this young man Pedro. That's his first name. After making a touchdown in his football team, while in the end zone, he pointed to the sky, representing heaven, and thanked God for being able to score. While some trying to be politically correct, or due to peer pressure, whichever you want to believe, complained that they were offended, resulting in Pedro being reprimanded by a committee and told he may not be able to participate in the upcoming playoffs because of his display of thankfulness to his Creator. Now later, the same committee turned around, rescinded this threat, saying they were giving him the benefit of the doubt. That's trying to cover the backside. Yeah. But they were going by the rules. Yet Pedro feels they were being taunting, which the majority, truth be known, will find even more offensive. You know, we listen to things, they see this kind of stuff going on, and we be the majority, and we find it even more offensive because they even do that. But you know what? They were going by the rules. Sometimes rules need to be broken, you know. Where and how do school boards, committees, politicians get off dictating when and where we can honor God? In prayer, on the spur of the moment, such as did since Pedro did. Now let's say these same people were to get into real trouble, predicament. Most likely, who are they going to turn to and call on? Not their peers, no. And who are they going to pray to? Think about it, God. They will deny God as long as things are going good and blame Him when things are not going like they planned, you know. But yet beseech Him to save them. So go figure. We got to figure that out. Help people swear about about God and to God. But when they need something, who they call on? They call on God. Come rescue me. Do we obey and glorify God or man? Well, we will take a look a little later at an example of the prophet Daniel, how he handled being told he could not honor God with consequences. It seems players cannot pray or coaches pray with their teams before or after a game. This should be a personal choice, not the choice of somebody else telling us what to do. Yet we're told in Matthew 6:1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds. I'll just read this. This can include prayers or preaching before men. This is not speaking of being about spontaneous or the spur of the moment like a prayer, such as Pedro's was, but rather to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Let's skip now to verse 5. But when you pray, you should not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues or on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Surely, I say to you, they have their reward. I don't know. How many have been to large cities? You've lived in Dallas. We've been in large cities. And you see them on the corner. And there's the little pamphlets, and you're praising God. And they got a little bucket out there so you can give them money. They're not praising God. They're trying to build up their own coffers, you know. When asked why God was so important to Pedro, he said he feels that without God, nothing is possible. Without God, we wouldn't even be here. He, God, gives us the power and the ability to play the sport, and that he, God, deserves the credit and the glory. When asked by a reporter if he would do it again, he said, yes, ma'am. He feels it is just a celebration and will continue to do so. Even though this is only a football game, how do we measure up? What about when we go to a restaurant to have a meal? I find it personally a little more offensive to see five people sitting at a table, all whipping out their telephones or their cell phones, been texting or talking to each other. Why are they there together if they're going to text somebody else, you know, or each other? You know, text the guy across the street and say, what are you having for dinner? Just ask them, you know. That's sort of crazy to do that. But I'd rather see them observe the group saying a prayer for the thankfulness for the food they are about to partake. I'm just a little funny about that. I mentioned earlier there is an example we can look at that encourages us toward obedience and boldness, not arrogance, in the word of God. Please come with me to chapter 6 of Daniel. Verse 1. Darius was king there. So it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because of an excellent spirit that was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. These men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors, the satraps, the administrators, satraps, the counselors, the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except for you, O God, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore King Darius signed the written decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom. This wasn't something he just conjured up to do now, because he had made that decree. He did this all the time. Then these men assembled, found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God, and they went before the king and spoke concerning Daniel's, the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except for you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be altered. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, and for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. He wasn't being sneaky about it. He was just open and did what he did. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said, O king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. He couldn't even change it. So the king gave a command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. So he believed. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, and the purpose concerning Daniel might be not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought to before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose early the next morning and went in haste to the den of the lions. When he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice, Daniel! The king spoke, saying to Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve, continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so they did not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den with no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in his God. The king gave the command and said, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel. They cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them, and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. That would be quite a sight, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Then King Darius wrote, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. Excuse me. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever. The kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and also in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I'm asked this. Are we thankful, faithful to God? Do we give glory to God? Are we going to allow peer pressure or political correctness to dictate that we can no longer show outward glory to God publicly? I think not. We're just beginning to see and feel the persecution And will we, the people in the U.S., allow it, much less put up with it? One last scripture is found in Matthew 13, verses 20, 21, and 23. Excuse me. Will we be like him whom the seed has received, was received on the stony places? But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. We have people come in for services and they seem all excited, but that's the last time you see them. They're not founded yet. So yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation, persecution, peer pressure, political correctness, if you want to say, arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Or will we be like the seed on the good ground? But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 30-fold, some 60. I again ask, how do we measure it? Do we honor and glorify God, or do we bow down to political correctness and peer pressure? Just think about it and pray your kingdom come.